The El Paso Museum of Art presents Gardens of Earthly and Unearthly Delights, a rich and exciting exploration of the garden and its fertile connections to art, life, and culture. Presented in the EPMA's Grand Temporary Exhibition Hall, the Woody and Gail Hunt Family Gallery, Gardens showcases works selected exclusively from the EPMA's collection of more than 7,000 pieces of European, American, Mexican, and contemporary art. Gardens of Earthly and Unearthly Delights will remain open with free admission to the public through January 7th, 2018. Here to tell us all about it is Dr. Victoria Ramirez of the El Paso Museum of Art. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So the first time we welcomed you to town, and now you are in full swing.
That's true. I'm on almost month 9.
All right. How's That's it going right. so far, by the way?
Very well. We have hired new staff members, we have secured exhibitions for next year, and we have a full host of really exciting programs coming up. We're ramping up, and it's very exciting.
Well, you can feel it already, even during the last Thursdays. There's so much action at the Museum of Art. It's so much fun. I've got to thank you for that.
Well, thank you for saying that. We have a phenomenal staff and lots of energy and great ideas. And I think most importantly, we have staff who are not only committed to the visual arts, but committed to the community.
You can tell right away.
Excellent.
And it's shining. So that brings us to Gardens of Earthly and Unearthly Delights. I gravitate toward the unearthly, but let's talk about the earthly part.
Well, as you said in your intro, I think one of the most exciting things about this exhibition is that every work of art in the exhibition comes from the museum's permanent collection. Mm-hmm. We have about 7,000 works of art in our collection. At any given time, there's only 3 or 4% of that permanent collection on view for the public to see. And so with this exhibition, we're able to share more of what the museum actually owns. So there's 100 works of art in the show. And as you also said in your introduction, mm-hmm. it does cover every aspect of our collection, which is really exciting.
Right. So I have to ask, because it is exciting when you bring out all of these paintings. You know, you come through the I think the last show that had only collection art was the show that had abstract art from Texas artists.
I was not here, but yes, that's what I've heard.
And that was so much fun to see. So I can only imagine what you've unearthed, quote unquote, unearthed through this one.
Well, and unearthed, I think, is a good word for it, because you really do have to comb through databases, the museum storage, and mine the collection to find just the right selection and configuration of work that that will work in an exhibition like this. So I have to give full credit to Dr. Patrick Cable, who's the museum's senior curator. He not only came up with the idea, but also selected all the works for the exhibition. And there's about 100 of them in the show. And it's a great opportunity also for people to see works of art that haven't been on view for a long time. And I have to tell you, when we had the exhibition opening a couple of weeks ago, which if you're a member, you get a chance to preview the exhibition before it's open to the public, a lot of our members were saying that they were seeing art that, first of all, they'd never seen before mm-hmm. or hadn't seen in decades. Mm-hmm. And so it was really interesting to hear them respond to what they were seeing on the walls and also hear them responding to the configuration that we had. You can put a work of art on the walls and say this is a portrait and you see it as a portrait. Or you can put a work of art on the walls that's the same thing and say it's gardens, and all of a sudden you start to notice the gardens that was behind the figure that was being painted. So it's really just a new way to look at the collection.
I got to say, yeah, because it's got to be like, you know, you think of the Madonna and Child image that you all have from the Crest collection. But then all of a sudden, you're right, you're looking at it as a garden. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's Madonna and Child, but they're in a garden.
What's so fascinating about that particular painting is I've probably looked at it 100 times and never really studied the background. Mm-hmm. And the background is the garden. And that particular painting is on view next to I believe it's 2015 or 16, digital media piece, which is a really interesting comparison. So in a sense, you're taking one of the oldest paintings in the museum's collection and then comparing it to one of the newest works of art in the museum's collection. And they're astonishingly similar.
How cool is that?
I have to say, we got very lucky with this particular artist who She's a digital media artist, and what she would do is she would take historical paintings, Lucas Cranach, who's one of the artists that she would always turn to, and she would essentially create a montage and create a film of this montage of images of historic paintings. So you see these historic elements, figures, trees, leaves, and you think that they look old, but in fact, you're looking at a television monitor.
Something
so it's fascinating.
Brand new. How cool. So did you get to dig back there with Patrick while he was doing this, or is this?
I have to say I can't take much credit for that. Patrick had this idea in mind before I arrived at the museum. So it was really about last year that he started thinking about this garden theme. And when we put together exhibitions at the museum, my feeling is, as director, I want the curators to be able to showcase their curatorial voice and vision.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick, I think, was really able to do that as he himself mined through the collection. Now, I should say we have a very talented curatorial staff who they all work collaboratively so beautifully. And my job really is just to do some final walkthroughs and help make some final decisions. But my mining through the collection is usually saying, wouldn't it be nice to do an exhibition of this one day? And we're starting to make those kinds of notes. And hopefully we'll see some of those exhibitions come to fruition in the upcoming years.
And really, thank God for his curiosity, right? Because like you said, we only get to see 3% that's being displayed, but it's really the stuff in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that patience and curiosity to just dig and dig and dig and find those themes.
Yeah.
Really something else.
That's the strength of our museum.
Mm-hmm.
The strength of our museum is really the collection. And to have a collection that has, first of all, this anchor,
right,
with 60 works of European paintings and sculpture that were, of course, given by the Kress Foundation is something that just can't be replicated. And then to be able to have a strong American collection, Mexican art collection. I think a lot of people know that we have the second largest collection of Mexican retablos. And so to have these kinds of areas of strengths, it really gives you multiple opportunities to create. It could be a large exhibition like we have in the Hunt Gallery, or even something that's a lot smaller. We had talked about earlier how we have a Tom Lee exhibition that's opening actually this Friday.
Well, I was about to jump into that, so let's go full force into it, because it's Tom Lee month in October, and you've got a nice show going on that starts here on October 8th. Is that correct?
We do, yes. Yeah. So it opens, I believe it's Friday the 6th. We'll have our members opening that Thursday evening, so members can get a sneak preview of the show. It's a beautiful little show. In fact, we've already started installing it. It's Tom Lee's Watercolors and Washes. And I have to say, in looking at some of the works that are in this show, you would swear that some of them were made with pencil. They're just so
really
delicately done. And, you know, I think we've all spilled water on a piece of paper, and there's no controlling it.
Right.
And so to look at Tom Lee's skill in working with watercolor and to be in his ability to control it, it's really pretty impressive. So we have a very strong collection of work by Tom Lee. And a lot of what people will see when they come to that exhibition is work that hasn't been on view for a while. So we're excited to open that show.
It's got to be, because you think of his range, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certain iconic pieces. There's Sarah in the Summertime, and there's the big mural in the library that I can't remember what it's called. But, you know, there's a style, and then you think of his journalistic works, and I can see those. But the watercolor, you're right.
You know, they're small. And a lot of them are sketches. So, you know, for a lot of museums, we like to put finished works out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to see a sketch for a mural or to see a sketch for a portrait, you really get a sense of somebody's artistic process. And, of course, you also get a sense of their range of skill and ability to work with a variety of medium.
Well, and it's important for somebody like him, who we all know, right? So it's nice to see another side to good old Tom Lee.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got this really neat lecture that I have already put in my calendar, and it's not about Tom Lee or the gardens. Will you tell us about that one?
Sure. So the third exhibition that we're featuring this fall is Frank Lloyd Wright. Many people, I think, have heard that Frank Lloyd Wright would be 150 if he were still alive today. And there really has been, throughout museums around the country, a celebration of this 150th birthday. And so for that, we're hosting an exhibition. It opens to the public on October 13th. We do have a really interesting lecture on October 12th, which will be offered in conjunction with the opening that we'll have for our members. So this particular exhibition is Frank Lloyd Wright's drawings and photographs of his interiors. And what's so interesting about them is you really get a sense of how he thought people should live and how he thought people should live within a space. Mm-hmm. And when you see them, they look so contemporary. It's almost like you're stepping into a brand new home with the big open spaces and large windows. They're really pretty astonishing how forward-thinking he was. So what we've done with this exhibition is we're pairing the drawings and the photographs with furnishings. And so we're bringing in actual Frank Lloyd Wright chairs, lamps, and some textiles.
Nice.
He was an architect. I think a lot of people know that. But he was also the kind of architect that designed everything for the home, including dinnerware, utensils, fabrics. You could really have a complete Frank Lloyd Wright interior, floor to ceiling. And we're bringing in a variety of different kinds of furnishings to give museum visitors a sense of what that would be like.
I've had the fortune of touring some of his homes, and it is, you're right, it's incredible. It's designed soup to nuts. I mean, I don't know if when you ordered a home, you also ordered everything else that went in there, or maybe he told you, hey, you're going to get all of this too.
Right.
This is how you're going to live in this house.
Right. I imagine a charge would be involved.
I would think so.
Yeah, but what I have heard is that when you did have a Frank Lloyd Wright home that had furnishings, the textiles, the kitchen utensils, that had everything, Frank Lloyd Wright, when he was alive, would come to visit and did not want any of his decorative accents disturbed.
Wow.
And so, from what I understand, he was very particular about the layout of furnishings. And I think if you visited a home or when you look at the photographs and the drawings, you can see that a lot of the rooms, as open and airy as they are, mm-hmm. there's a very logical furniture configuration for many of the spaces. And that was his intention.
Well, we look forward to seeing it all. You've got all sorts of fun stuff happening at the Museum of Art. And can't thank you enough for coming again.
Thank you. May I add one more thing?
Absolutely.
I just want to encourage everybody to follow us on Facebook. That's really the best way to keep up with what's happening at the El Paso Museum of Art. We've got a lot of really exciting events coming up, including a really cool partner program with Dead Beach Brewery on October 14th. So stay tuned to Facebook, and I hope to see everybody at the museum.
Well, thank you so much. Today, my guest has been Dr. Victoria Ramirez of the El Paso Museum of Art. Thanks again for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you.